Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I am Craig, and this is Greg, so it's very appropriate that both of us are here for the Craig and Greg Show.
And that's a good name because it ties in our names.
I know, isn't it? It's very clever.
Very clever.
Kudos to Austin for coming up
with
that.
Nice.
You know, one of the things that we want to do in our episodes is we want to motivate you to be better leaders. And so we thought it would be a good topic of discussion for us to drill down a little bit into that word motivate. What does that actually mean? How does motivation play into our leadership? And, you know, Greg, quite simply, I mean, the dictionary definition is pretty simple about motivate. It's just to give somebody a reason to go forward. Mm-hmm. I would say kind of in our discussion of leadership, we want to give somebody a reason to go up, to, you know, to climb up into a higher place in their leadership and take on greater influence. So let's talk a little bit about motivation. How do leaders give it? How do they get it for themselves? How important is it for us to maintain that motivation?
Both of us have had great leaders and mentors. Mm-hmm. And both of us hopefully would hear from others they were great mentors and leaders. Your word on, you know, moving forward or going up, I think motivation can be applied almost anywhere in your life spectrum as a leader.
Right.
One is get up.
Sure.
You know, or you fell, get up.
Right.
Or get out of bed and get going. I think moving forward or moving in a different direction, but certainly up. You know, like, let's be a better version, which is our one of our missions about this podcast is to make you all better leaders. That's just a thrill. But I do think motivation comes different packages.
Yes, for
sure.
And
that becomes our challenge as a leader. You've been trying to figure out things in your different posts where you worked and led as you're like, I don't know what gets him going.
Right. Well, and that's why I think you do need to know your teammates to do that, because there are some people that I think are motivated by just you saying, hey, here's what's in the future. Let's strive for that. Mm-hmm. And I think some people are motivated by saying, you know, if you just keep on this path that you are right now, or you just stay seated where you are right now, here's where your things are going to ultimately fall apart or end up. And I think different people are motivated by different things. And it's part of our job as leaders to be able to say, I want to look at my team. There might be some principles that will motivate the whole team, but then I'm going to have to be specific. You know, Joe's going to need this. Sally's going to need this, you know, and I'm going to have to be very specific in how I motivate.
You're very good at that. So we're plugging coaching and huddles and helping you kind of come alongside, whether it's career or relationship. You're very good at that because there are some tenets that are required for us to be good leaders or have a championship team.
Sure.
But there are other aspects of what generation,
yes,
what experiences they've had,
yep,
what position they're in, whether they're kind of, you know, launching or they're landing or they're in between. I think for me, the question I'm going to have you wrestle with is motivation. It's not one size fits all.
Sure.
So how do you tailor it and lead many people?
Yeah. And that is hard. And I think one of the things that I struggled with at first was when I would be working with a whole team and there was one person that you might like kind of pull out and say, let's do some one-on-one. I struggled with, well, because I'm spending time with this person, now I have to do that same thing for everybody else on the team. Mm. But the simple fact is that not everybody else on the team might need that same attention that I'm giving there. And so it's okay for me. And I'll say this to you leaders, because it took me a while to get this, but it's okay for you to do for one person what maybe you can't do for all the people, or maybe you can't do for the whole team. And so I think that leadership does have to be individualized, you know, like
more appropriate, not equal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, and like, you know, so my whole book when I was writing Shepherd Leadership, the reason
which is a great book, by the way.
Thank you. Which I like the idea of a shepherd. Somebody originally suggested the idea of servant leadership. And I liked the shepherd concept, and part of it was this individualized, because like even Jesus talked about sometimes the shepherd will have to leave. Here's the 99 that are here. I have to go do something different for one that I'm not doing for the 99. And I think that that's what happens with this sheep needs to be carried right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes some of your teammates have to be carried. This sheep, I need to get out my staff and I need to like motivate them along, and some of your teammates are going to need that.
Right.
This sheep needs to just know that there's green pasture over here. I just simply need to tell them that over here is the green pasture. The other sheep that I need to say, look, there's green pasture over here, but you're not going to get there on your own, so I have to help get you there. So I think that if we just take that viewpoint that everyone's got to be treated differently, because you talked about generations and past experiences and maturity, all of that is going to play into it.
Yeah. Does coachability come into motivation?
Sure.
It seems like it would. You know, where you could present a sentence, a situation, and they're not there.
Right.
Right. From all your assessment or all my evaluation, they're really there, but they don't wish to.
Right.
What are some of those distractors for the person who has a good leader, but it's a little difficult maybe to implement or execute? What are those distractions that maybe convolute motivation?
I think one of the biggest ones is that I've already got this figured out attitude, you know, because then you're not... It's like that, you know, Charlie Brown, you know, his teacher, you know, that's what
I had that teacher, yeah. But we didn't have dirt floors.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you have indoor plumbing?
All of us have indoor plumbing.
Okay.
I got you. I'm quite regular too.
But I think that that's the, for if you got somebody that they say, I know how to do this, you're really wasting your time trying to coach them. There is no coachability that's there.
Right.
And so then you really have to say, okay, well, then you're going to have to be self-motivated, because you're not going to take anything that I...
That's a great word. All right. So are we purely self-motivated? Is it possible?
I don't think 100%. I mean, because you have to be motivated for something. I mean...
That's right.
Because you have to say... Yeah, I'm going to work on getting me better because I want to improve the people around me. Well, if nobody's around me, then I'm getting better for what reason? So, yeah, so I don't think I can be totally self-motivated.
I have a story. A friend of mine was a good athlete growing up, but he put weight on. And it just struck me. This was just my heart. This isn't necessarily a leadership story. I guess it could be, but I was like, hey, come with me and work out in the morning. We both have that open. We had kids. And so, yeah, after school or at night, we're home. But I said, come in the morning. So he goes, what time? And I said, well, I'd like to work out at 6 o'clock so you can shower, be on the road at 7:30. That's pretty early. Well, I mean, you're getting very, very large. So we've got to either reduce the large and get up early or do something. Anyway, so I said, I'll pay for your membership for 90 days. We're going to meet twice a week. And the two other times, you're going to do your thing. Walk, take your wife on a hike in the woods or lift some weights or cut your grass, whatever. Just stay active.
Sure.
He lasted 3 weeks. So he wasn't self-motivated and externally wasn't motivated. He wasn't hungry for it. How hard is that as a leader, in your opinion, to almost create hunger for them to be their best without saying, I'll do it for you?
Yeah, I think that all leaders can really do is just say, look, here's where we are now, but it's not that good if we're just going to stay here. This is the better future of where we could be. And if they don't want to buy into that, there is nothing you can do, because if you try to drag them along, they're just going to, you know, it's like that kid, you know, in the store. We've all seen it where mom's got them by the hand, pull them along, and they're, you know, all of a sudden their legs don't work and they're just flopping around on the floor.
Are they in the cereal aisle?
Yeah, usually, or the candy aisle.
Okay.
You know, it just, but you know what? But, and you've seen it too. You've had a lot more playing experience and coaching experience. And I know you've seen coaches that they just start yelling louder at a player does it work?
No. So I coached high school football for 20 plus years. It's a gas. You get a 14-year-old boy, no hair, potentially his voice is cracking, you know, a couple pimples maybe, and they're going to develop, but you're like, just faster. Can you go faster, grow faster, sure. Get bigger, faster, stronger. By the time they are senior and they report to camp in high school, you're like,
who are you?
Who is that man? Yeah. You know, and that's so fun to see progress naturally. Right. And they've also added things in where their IQ for the sport they play.
Sure.
Well, this particular coach, he asked me to help him. And so I said, all right, I'll do this for you. So I ran the offense for him. And if someone made a mistake, which is a great lesson for us leaders, and there will be mistakes. So you have a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid. We call a play. He doesn't do the job he was assigned to do, and the play blew up. Oh, you go second down now. This guy would yell the name, ask him to come on over to the sideline, yell even louder. No, he's closer. Why would you yell louder? And I thought to myself, you know, they're not deaf. And the interesting piece I noticed with him was their esteem depleted. Hmm. And they weren't willing to run hard.
Yeah.
Tackle harder, play harder. They weren't. They were almost more careful.
Demotivated.
Demotivated. Yeah. So after one season, 9 games. Well, we played some playoff games, but 9 regular season games. We had our coaches evaluation, you know, how'd you do? What'd you like? What should we work on? Who's coming back? Blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey, coach, can I switch it on you? Because he was the head coach. And what do you got? I think it's not about being liked by the players. It's about the players learning how to play. Kind of as leaders for us, how do you lead? Yep. And we need to help them, show them.
Right.
From that time forward, a couple of times if we're on the headset, I would, you know, hey, coach. Yep, got it. I mean, he didn't have to say anything because he knew he would lose it. Like, he just wanted the team to do so well. He wasn't a mean person. He just wanted it to be so perfect. But these kids are 15, 16, 17. Right. And they play football for us for 2 hours in the afternoon.
Right.
There are 22 other hours. I have no idea what they're battling with.
Sure.
So yelling, volatility, chaos really doesn't motivate. No. That's what I learned.
Yeah, but but that's the, I'm going to kind of motivate you, try to motivate you, and if it doesn't work, then I'm going to raise the volume. You know, I think that you're starting to be counterproductive at this point, especially like you were talking about before, you know, different generations are going to be motivated different ways. But I think, like we've talked before about love languages, I think different love languages are motivated
for
a
sure.
different way. Mm-hmm. You know, the person that's motivated by physical touch is going to be motivated a lot more by the pat on the back or the high five, but not necessarily the words of affirmation that's going to motivate, you know, the other person. The ones that are motivated by gifts, you know, there's some kind of gift reward that's at the end, like when you do this and you're motivated that way. That's a part of getting to know the group that you're working with is that you can really fine tune the motivation for each person and find out, oh, this is what makes them tick. Therefore, this is what's going to motivate them, not just saying, okay, I'm just going to yell, you know, until the veins pop out of the side of my neck.
And he did have that. This is an human resource terminology. Sometimes you'll see vice president of talent development. I'm not sure that's the whole thing. As a leader, I think we need to understand what the talent needs to be called out.
Sure.
And that's different than talent development. Like, hey, I want to give you some talent, some experience, some skills at our work versus how do I call out what really is in the person? Yep. And I think that's something to play with as leaders is how do we call out through the motivation? If they have the talent or you can develop it, what if they don't use it?
Sure. I've been, as time went on, I became much less dependent on job descriptions because to me that was a little bit like saying, here's the mold, now we want you to fill it. And we're asking them to do some things that they're not skilled at. And True. So therefore it's not very, there's not a lot that we can do to motivate them except for the motivation of, all right, well, I'm just going to get it done. But what I like to do was get to know the person and then develop. So their job description and their job duties might not look nice, neat. They might be kind of blobby looking because they're really good in this
area.
That's
a shape too, isn't it? Blobby?
Yeah, blobby is. They're really good over here. This is where how God's wired them. So let me put them in here. And that's where I think that some of the self-motivation comes in because, hey, I'm naturally wired this way and I get to do this. Then work doesn't feel like work. You know, it doesn't feel like a drudgery to get it done. It feels I'm getting rewarded every day because I'm doing what I enjoy doing, and it's really stoking my fires. And I think that, you know, going back to your question before, is somebody truly self-motivated? Well, you can definitely, as a leader, you can put people in a position where they are more likely to be self-motivated just because they're feeling so fulfilled every day.
I think one of the exercises us leaders could participate in, it's almost a self exercise. Have I ever asked them what lights their fire? Because the five love languages, you've preached on it, you've taught on it, you've lived it, and you've learned also, well, that wasn't what she needed today. And then you recalibrate, you reassess it. But I wonder about that from a standpoint of just asking them, like, hey, I'm not talking about the parking sign in the front spot where you get because you're the employee of the month. That it might be a recognition, but words. But have you ever thought about that? Like, how would that go? Like asking the person, how can we motivate you?
Listen, I think that, and I would say that, listen, I've heard from some leaders that say things like, I don't like to have my employees sit down and fill out these assessments, you know, doing a DISC profile or whatever. Okay, and that might not be your thing. But here's what I would say. I don't necessarily do that with people, too. I don't say to my next-door neighbor, I don't go over and say, hey, could you fill this out? I want to know what your love language is, so take this assessment. But I know them well enough that I can ask different questions. I can see how that person responds in a certain way. And then you could go, you know what? I think their love language is this. I think that their temperament is this. I think, you know, and you can begin to learn those things about the person if you know them yourself. But the big thing that I would say, and listen, the big thing I preach to myself a lot, when you do this with people, you can't label them.
No.
These are not labels. They're windows of insight. So that because otherwise you go, well, of course you behaved like that because you're a, and you put that label on there.
Right, yeah.
But you say, I want to get a window of insight to know not only how I'm supposed to speak to you, what's going to motivate you, but I also want the window of insight to know when my words come out, what's it doing inside of your head, inside of your heart? Mm-hmm. How is this motivating you? How are you hearing and feeling what I'm saying? I need to know that. And so you have to learn that about your team. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels.
Yeah, one size doesn't fit all. Yeah, as you were speaking there, I thought about what has happened in, so recognition, gifts from companies or cultures, 5 years or an award or whatever. It used to be everyone got a watch or a pin or and it was just, one size fits all, and you just collected pins or badges or you got your tenure, everyone got a crystal, blah, 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 thing that says the company's name. Now they're putting together catalogs.
Yeah.
And I think as leaders, that's almost what we got to do, is catalog how we can find that talented person, motivate that talented person, and then celebrate as they journey to be a better leader. Because that catalog doesn't say you get the same gold watch. Oh, this year you get a ruby. You know, I don't like rubies, or red's not my favorite color. Right. I think the catalog almost explains what we have as a challenge for leaders is not everyone's going to pick the watch.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And that we've talked about this before, for that leaders need to be like the thermostats for people. They need to be able to click some things and say, I'm sensing you're getting a little cold. I'm sensing you're getting a little hot, you know, and click. And so you've got to know then. And so that I think having some kind of a catalog or having something where we figured out this is where I can click and I get them to redirect towards something that's going to motivate them. Because right. if you're holding something out, you know, like they've talked about the carrot and the stick and motivating. Is it really, are those the only two things you can either motivate? Here's the reward, or here's the, you know, I'm going to beat you if you don't. I think that there is so much more to motivation than that, but you have to know so that then you can go, oh, wait a minute, this person's off. That, how am I going to motivate them? This is where mm-hmm. they really come alive. This is what I'm going to start.
And that phrase you brought up, carrot or the stick, is probably a few decades, maybe a different generation ago. And maybe they simplified it. Say something nice or say something mean. Right. One of those will work,
right.
maybe.
Right.
And I think we're becoming way more complicated as humans to say one fits and it will always be that until you're done working.
Right.
Sometimes as you move on in your career, you become more reflective. You want experiences. Sometimes sure. when you're launching your career or you're emerging, you're like, show me the money, show me the money, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think there's an interesting quote that I thought it was cool about basically motivation. Don't downgrade your dream to fit your reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good.
Rather upgrade your commitment to match your destiny.
Yeah.
And I thought as leaders, and our challenge to you is, how do we motivate them to actualize their destiny?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point we can think of people like, well, he has the potential. She's got what it takes. And yet they're not doing it. And of course you go by a couple of decades, you're like, okay, so they're kind of at the tail end of their career and they still didn't really become their destiny.
Yep.
And I think that's our heart as leaders, as we help you be amazing leaders, is how do we motivate them to reach their destiny?
Right.
And it pains us sometimes, right? As particularly, you know, if you have a role as a pastor that you do, you're like, I just want you to grow.
Right.
Not for me, for you. Yep. It's your relationship.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think you do need to know what they're, that's a great quote. And I think you need to know people's dreams. Mm-hmm. What is it that they're dreaming about? What does the better future look like for them? I think it's good to know what are they afraid of that might happen.
Good one.
You know, so that because you could be, mm-hmm. you could be demotivating them by, and you're not even aware of it because you're leading them towards something that they're going, I'm afraid of that part.
Apprehensive. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not helping. So
maybe my wrap up for my learning, as we always do, which is so cool for you all, you get to listen to it, but we kind of grow and learn as we're kind of sharing the podcast. I think one of my better choices was not to assume what motivated them and ask them.
Yes.
And I think the same comes back to feedback, like their assessment, and it changes over time. They get a new role. Maybe they have a different role outside of work.
Sure.
And it changes, and or they change. You know, this is now what's important to me. I think if we don't ask our teammates,
right.
it's almost, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They get it?
And hope.
Right. And hope, yeah. And I think it's a lot of energy. And it may have some expectations issues, like, well, he really doesn't know me.
Yes.
She doesn't have a clue what is good for me. I think that's, as leaders, that's a great challenge. Just ask them in the right way.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think Greg just nailed it there. I think, listen, leaders, you got to be individualized in your leadership. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Everything's got to be personalized for the people on your team. And that's part of what we do in our coaching huddles. When we speak to you in these Craig and Greg Show broadcasts, these are just general application topics. But if you go to maximizeleadership.com, there's a page on there about our coaching huddles. What we do in the huddles is highly specific, very individualized. We get to know you and find out what your dreams are and what your struggles are with your team and what you really are wanting and dreaming about for your team. And then we're going to give you a perspective that is very specific, very individualized for where you are. So I'd encourage you, go maximizeleadership.com, click on the link for the coaching huddles. You can read a little bit about it. You can watch a video, but then fill out the form at the bottom. Even if you're like, I'm not exactly sure what you guys could do for me, just fill out the form. We'll get in touch with you. We'll talk to you about what we can do and how we can individualize your leadership journey and your growth. You can also reach out to us on Maximize Podcast on Twitter or on this video just down below. Just leave us a comment. If you've got some feedback on this show, you got some suggestions, maybe you've got a question, or you say, hey, here's a good topic that I'd love to hear you guys talk about, we'd love to hear that from you as well. We are here to help you grow as leaders, and so tap into the resources that we have available. Stay tuned. We got lots of great episodes coming up for you soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.